Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast with your hosts, Corndog and Eric.
And thank you for tuning in to the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. January 5th, 2023, Season 4, and this is Episode 79. I am your co-host, Corndog, sitting here with our other co-host, Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Doing great. Good to be back. How are y'all? We missed you. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Holidays, Christmas, New Year's. Hope everybody enjoyed themselves and got everything they wanted under the Christmas tree.
Yeah, yeah. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year's, all that. Looking forward to a good 2023 and hope you all are doing well, healthy, and looking forward to a good riding and off-road season.
Yeah, yeah. It's the beginning. So on that note, we have a lot to catch up with, I guess. First off, Dakar is going strong. What is it? They're actually racing right now, stage six?
Yep, tonight. So tonight they'll be doing stage six. They've completed the first five stages. And I think they've seen a little bit of everything. Tonight they're dealing with some serious weather. Everybody's got big jackets on and hand warmers on their handlebars. And you know, they had some flooding, I think, at stage three or four. They had some pretty good flooding and rain, and they've seen everything from rocks and stones to sand dunes and
everything for miles.
Yeah, camel grass, all of it. Yeah. So pretty cool. Been following it pretty close. We got several Americans over there right now in Dakar, and yeah. So really cool to see the representation from the U.S. and several of those guys we've had on the podcast.
11 Americans on bikes.
Yeah, we've had Skylar Howes on. We've had Mason Klein on. We've
had
Jake Augerbright. So super cool to see those guys all competing and representing well. And all the others that haven't been on, good luck to them. And
heartbreaking with Ricky.
Awesome.
At least he's okay, but had to pull out on stage three.
Had a big crash on stage three with some neck pain.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit concerned about it. They were concerned about it, so they flew him out, get some x-rays and stuff. And ultimately, he ended up having to withdraw. But, yeah, bummer. Dude was really killing it. And, well, how about Mason Klein, though, man?
Jeez.
Unreal. The kid's navigational skills and riding ability, he's definitely representing strong.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what a bummer, too. He was leading, well, he won the stage two.
Yeah, he won the stage prior.
And then he was leading the next day and was the first to pull into the fuel and got water.
Water in the gas.
And they need to figure something out, because it seems like the water in the fuel has been a problem every year to the first few people that show up at the fueling station.
Yep, happened to Andrew Short last year or the year before.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Just a couple other guys, same thing. Like I've had it happen to me in Baja, same thing. Ended up, bike was running great for the first 35 miles, and then we pulled in, got fuel, and it just ran like trash for the next 40. No power, bogging, just...
How frustrating can that be, though?
Oh, it's super, super frustrating.
All the time and money and training and prep and to get water in your fuel. Man, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you do everything in your power to go over there and represent and try and win. That's how we were in Baja. I mean, we did everything we could to make sure we had a solid bike, everything was prepped, everything was squared away, and then to get water in the fuel and just that's it. When you're using a second party or a third party fueling company or whatever, fueling pit crew, it's really kind of outside of your control, right? And so that's the most frustrating part, is you do everything you can to minimize mistakes and errors and breakdowns and mechanicals and all that, and then something outside of your control.
Is there a
it's
device or something that's made to separate, or maybe somebody needs to come up with that?
That's a good point. Like I know on like some of the diesel engines and stuff, there's water separators, and I'm no engineer, so I don't know the ins and outs on how that all works and if it would be crossover to dirt bikes, but I think you're onto something there. That could be a...
Let's get with Mike at Takamoto. Come on, yeah, Mike. Hey, what do you got?
Takamoto Mike. This is a project for you, homie. Figure out a water fuel separator for a dirt bike that doesn't restrict fuel pressure and whatnot. You're the guy.
Yeah. Let's do it.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, it was gut-wrenching for me because, you know, I was racing with a team at the time, and so it was almost like I let the team down, but it wasn't my fault, you know what I mean? But I felt responsible because I was the one on the bike at the time. And, dude, it's just super frustrating. And to kind of confirm it for me, like, we pitted, I think it was mile 34. We got fuel. And then the bike ran like crap for the next 40 miles. I got to the highway and we pitted at the next one, and I had them drain the float, drain what they could, and then put fresh gas in it. And the thing ran like a top as soon as we put gas in it again. And then we ran that whole race, and the last 35 miles was common course inbound and outbound. And so I had to fuel at that same stop on my way back in. And the bike ran great to that point. And then I fueled at that same fuel stop and got water again.
Oh, man.
And it ran like crap the last 34 miles. And by the time I got to the finish, the bike was barely running. Like, so it was noticeable that when I fueled at that spot that the bike just all of a sudden ran like garbage.
You knew where it came
from. So I knew where it came from, and it was the same pit stop, the same pit crew both times. So, I mean, I know it was water in the fuel, but... Super frustrating. I can't imagine how he's feeling. I mean, he lost 12 minutes due to that incident.
From like first to 10th. I mean, he was able to pull over and wrench on it himself and fix it out.
Yeah, he fixed it. Kid's super, super smart and was able to manage it. But, man, time's lost already. It's, you know, it's a done deal at that point. So
hopefully he's sitting, what, third now in standings?
Yeah, or fourth? He's still third in the overall.
So there's still time, you know, you never know. So hopefully he could put it together, but still, 22 years old, running in the top three, the biggest race in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's
a stud.
He's definitely representing and making a name for himself. So keeps that up. He'll have a long career in rally.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Yeah. And Jacob Augerbright, he's doing pretty good. He's, I think he's sitting in like 24th place, which is phenomenal for your first year going and privateer.
Yeah, definitely. Dakar in specific, but rally in general is there's a pretty big learning curve there, and definitely I'm sure he's learning what it takes and what how to pace yourself and how to gauge it, and It's cool to see him running his first one. I'm sure he's just stoked. Been following some of his social media posts, and you could tell he's busy.
Yeah.
He's on the privateer program, so he's definitely busy putting in a lot of time and doesn't have a ton of time to post, but he's doing good. And then how about Skylar Howes, man?
Like, Mr. Mustache.
Dude.
He's rocking that stash.
Super consistent, super good, like just – putting it together, man. Seems like he's I think he's second in the overall.
Oh, okay.
Unless he well, that was after stage five, so or after stage four going okay. into stage five. So I didn't see the actual stage five results, but Daniel Sanders was leading and then Skyler was in second, but maybe Skyler's...
it's right there.
Anyway, he's first or second in the overall. I think I did see P1 on the overall after stage five. So, yeah, Skyler's killing it. If he can just keep it up and no major crashes. He had a big get-off in stage four, I think it was. Kind of woke him up a little bit, and he said he had a big get-off. So, anyway.
Cool. So, good luck to all those 11 guys on bikes. Be safe. Well, down to 10 now. Ricky's out, which stinks, but make him bigger and stronger for next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Little shout out to another buddy of ours, started on dirt bikes. He's been a guest on our show, Kellen Walsh. He's in a side-by-side, and they're sitting first in points in the side-by-side class, however those classes work. But that's awesome to see. He got their first win of the rally on his birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, so super cool. Those guys are killing it. They had some mechanical issues on day three, but I think they won stage two and four. So keep it up, Kellen. Keep up those navigational skills, and you guys are killing it. Good job.
Yeah. So how many rounds is there? Nine or days of Dakar? Is it nine?
No, it's 12 10? or 13, 12, I think.
13. Okay, so we're not even halfway through yet. So, and like we said, they race. If you're in the States, they're racing when we're basically in bed. Their daylight is our nighttime. So as when we're recording this right now, they're out there racing. So kind of cool to see. So every morning when I wake up, I'm hitting the Dakar app or listening to the Dakar podcast and listening to what's going on. It's kind of fun to wake up to.
Yeah, indeed.
So some of the other things coming up, of course, everybody's race, your own race series is are getting underway. Couple race dates. I know this weekend in Mesquite, there's the Race Umora group, and we've had the owner of Umora on our podcast. But they're doing a GP in Mesquite this weekend, January 14th. Is that this weekend or next weekend?
Next weekend. This weekend's the 7th.
Maybe it is the 7th.
Oh, are you saying it? Oh. Yeah, I'm not sure on the
I think it's this weekend because the following weekend is a couple other races. So yeah, I think I wrote down the wrong date. So I believe it's the 7th. Check it out on their Instagram page, social media. And looks like a pretty good deal. Pretty fun. I actually messaged them and they said it's be about a 6 mile course through Mesquite. So probably going to hit them sand whoops down there in the riverbed.
Ooh.
Fun stuff.
I don't know if I've seen worse sand whoops than the Mesquite motocross.
I don't like it, but for some reason, every time I've raced it, I've done pretty well in there.
It'll test you.
Yeah, even doing it at 120 degree weather one summer. Ugh.
Never mind, I lied. I have seen worse. 2021 Baja 1000 down Constitucion. The whoops down there, like 30 miles long.
Ugh.
And deep and gnarly.
That don't work your legs at all.
No, just a little bit. But.
So speaking of Moran and Works, I know that Moran is our local race group, and this coming weekend is not this weekend. The next weekend is the. That's right. So, I did write it down. The 14th is the race in Mesquite. This weekend is A1. Next weekend is the 2022 Moran Awards Banquet of Champions, and then the following weekend is the Moran's Round 1 put on by the Gamblers, Nelson Hills, January 20th. And then the Works race, same weekend, the 20th through the 22nd, is Round 1 in Prim. I got a bunch of scribbly marks. I was making notes when I was driving on the highway today. Anyways, I'll get it all straight. If you don't understand me, just go to everybody's Instagram or web pages and get the dates for yourself. So the POH Grand Prix, they announced a new series coming up. It's going to be a four-race series. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Eric?
Yeah, so the POH Grand Prix is going to do a four-race series that's... do you remember the format? It's...
Well, one of them is going to be two rounds in one day, and the other one's going to have like a some kind of a rodeo. They said more details coming.
Yeah, kind of a GP style, but desert loop, not a motocross track.
A desert GP.
Desert GP. And it's going to be... let me get you the dates real quick.
It's like
June
or something.
It's a desert. It's a summer series, so it doesn't really conflict with too many of the other series and whatnot, which that's kind of cool. But their first one is May 27th and 28th. Pervine's Racing is going to be the title sponsor for the series, I think. And the series is going to do a pretty big pro payout. I heard $10,000 pro payout. And that they'll pay down to like maybe 6th or 7th place. So
nice.
That should pull a serious pro field if people are excited about earning a little money. You better check that series out. And it shouldn't conflict with any of your other series.
This is their third year.
Yeah. So this is their third year. They've been really successful the last 2 years. They race right down in town, downtown POH, Nevada. POH is known for its silver mine back in the day. It was one of the largest silver mines in the state of Nevada and even in the country. And now it's kind of a bit of a historic mining town. Got a lot of history and a lot of really neat stuff there. The old $1 million courthouse in POH, and there's some cool stuff uptown there. But anyway, it's a good time, really fun atmosphere, fun racing.
I raced it the first year, and it was really fun. I did the team race on Saturday and then the regular race on Sunday, and it was a lot of fun until I took an ambulance ride.
Yeah. It's rocky. POH is rocky. It's like I said, it's a mining town. So set your bike up for rocks and you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the second race is in July, July 7th and 8th. And again, you're at like 6,000 feet elevation. So it's high desert July, but it's not Las Vegas or Arizona weather. Like it's a bit cooler up here. So don't let that scare you too much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the July 7th, 8th, and 9th, that one's actually a double race. They're going to race 2 days, and each day counts towards a round. So it'll be round 3 and round 4 on the same weekend. And both of those rounds are going to pay some pretty good money. So one weekend, big money, might put July 7th and 8th and 9th on your calendar.
Yeah.
And then round 4 is August 11th and 12th and 13th. They're going to do the series awards banquet on the 13th at the Opera House.
World Historic
Opera House there in POH. So pretty cool series that they're putting together. The promoter is Jason Beam. Beam Designs, paints helmets. You might have seen some of his work in NASCAR or Supercross.
Dakar. Supercross.
Yep. Road racing, all kinds of stuff. But
awesome helmets.
The dude's very talented in that aspect. But maybe, anyway, we might have him come on and expound on that series a little bit and why they're doing it and kind of what the details of how they're going to pay out and whatnot.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have him come on. A little cool. Later, but anyway, that's kind of the overview of it. So come on out.
Yeah. Go check them out on their social media. It's POH Grand Prix or POH GP. POH underscore GP on Instagram.
That's it.
So go see all their flyers and their updates, and they're still coming out with more info as time gets closer. What else? Trail ride. We got another email yesterday from Scott Harden. Eric and I are both on the staff, and they had, he said in the 39th year? 30 something years.
Don't ask me that. Six something.
It's on the email. Anyway, in all the years, 30 something years, it's the fastest selling, and they're not sold out, but the fastest one day sale that they've had in history. The email that said to us today, most of the hotels are sold out. When you sign up, you get a motel. You either pick RV or camping or hotel. It looks like the Caliente hotels are sold out, but that does not mean that we've hit the limit of riders. So there is still camping and nearby hotels in Panac and Pioche. Guys, I know we talk about it all the time. If you haven't been to this event, you need to do it. Set it as a goal, as a bucket list. It's 3 days of riding from people all around. And some of the special guests this year, Johnny Campbell will be here with his old Honda that he won the first Baja 1000 on. He'll be doing, I mean, you could rub shoulders with Johnny Campbell. Come on. And then Skylar Howes and Mason Klein, they were here this last year, but they have verbally committed to be here again this year. So two big names in Dakar racing will be here. And there's still a lot more things in the works. And just people from all over the country come in and ride with us. It's a phenomenal event.
It truly is.
So, a lot of work goes into it, and it's well worth it for you guys. So, see you at the Nevada 200 Trail Ride. And that is, when is that? That is...
second week of April?
Yep. Or no. Yeah, April 11th through the 16th, or 14th through the 16th.
Yep.
Yep, 14, 15, 16. Again, I can't read my writing. But, yeah. So, Supercross is coming up. A1 this weekend. And?
The Desert Dirt Biker Podcast is hosting the Supercross Fantasy again.
Through Rocky Mountain.
Through Rocky Mountain. ATV's Fantasy, Supercross Fantasy. You go on there, create an account, and then scroll down to where you can join the groups. There's different groups. We have created a group called the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. That's the group. And join our group, and then you'll need the password. And the password is
Dirt Bike.
Dirt Bike. Capital D, Dirt Bike. So jump on there, join our group, and
who's gonna win it?
We usually give a cool prize at the end of the season from our group. We'll give a prize away, and then Rocky Mountain gives prizes every week for the top 10 or top 100 people. So
yeah, huge prizes at the end of the season too.
Yeah, they're giving away 3 bikes for first, second, third for the end of the season. So pretty awesome. And then they do other prize packs too, so it's who knows, you might be the lucky winner of a brand new KTM dirt bike at the end of Supercross. So let's talk a little bit about that. Okay. Your picks, my picks, and then also about the changes to the series. So the Supercross series has changed from just Supercross and motocross to a combined Super Motocross World Championship. And so it's combined the rounds, and at the end of the two series, the Supercross and Motocross, then there will be three races for the top 20 riders to compete for a world championship.
Oh, wow.
So pretty wild, some changes there, but pretty neat stuff going on. And the money, the purse that is up for the riders now is up to around $10 million, which they've never had a pro purse of $10 million in Supercross or Motocross.
Wow.
So the riders are pretty excited about the money. They're pretty excited about the opportunity to be a world champion. There's a little bit of a new buzz around it. So
what you're saying, there's going to be some good racing this
year.
Dude,
there's going to be some good racing. They're going to be dogfighting, and it's not just going to be the best Supercross rider, but the best Supercross, Motocross, all-around rider. I think it's good for our sport, because in America, we've been so focused on Supercross for so long, mm-hmm. that when we go to compete in the
Motocross
of Nations, mm-hmm. you know, we up until this last year, we've been getting beat pretty bad by the Motocross crews, and basically. You know, this will put a little bit more emphasis on, hopefully, on our motocross here, and I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's interesting. I think the press that we'll get because of it become more of a prestigious series, kind of like the Formula One stuff, mm-hmm. and just continue to grow. You know, and the TV deals that they're getting now is pretty cool. Having it on Peacock, where it's quite a bit more mainstream than just some of the channels they've had in the past. So really cool stuff there. But let's talk about picks.
I haven't picked
how,
yet.
How in the heck, going into Anaheim 1, I feel like there's 10 dudes that could win any given time. I mean, so for me, and this may change, so don't make your picks off of my picks, because I plan on watching practice and changing my picks as needed. But just off the bat, I've got Sexton. I think the guy is just phenomenal, a phenomenal talent. His timing on the bike is incredible, and his form, and just, I mean, if the guy can stay off the ground, he's a phenomenal rider. Watched him and Tomac just battle all season last year. Anyway, I got Sexton winning Anaheim 1. I've got Tomac in second. Third, wild card. Guy's either going to come out and probably win the thing or get 10th. But Jason Anderson, got him in third. I've got Ken Roczen in fourth. New bike, new team, new motivation. He very well could come out and win it. He's won in Anaheim before. But I've got him in fourth. And then fifth, I went with Christian Craig. New team, first time on a 450. The dude was the fastest guy on a bike last year, in my opinion, in the 250 class on the Star Racing Yamaha. Factory Husqvarna rider now. Anyway, Christian Craig is my number five. Wild card, I think for the first round, I think the wild card is 10th place. Went with Plessinger. I think Plessinger is a solid 10th. Especially with the field that he stacked up against. Mm-hmm. So the riders that I didn't have in my top five, Cooper Webb, Marvin Muskan, Malcolm Stewart, Justin Barsha, Plessinger. I mean, dude, any one of those 10 names that I just named could win or podium.
Yeah.
How do you pick? How do you pick your riders for Anaheim 1?
Put them on a piece of paper, throw them in a hat.
Dude, you'd probably have better luck doing that than what I'm doing right now. Like, anyway, I don't know. The racing this year is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait. I mean, it's incredible that we have that. Oh, and then on top of that, okay, let's throw another few names in there. Adam Cincirillo, Joey Savacci. I don't know, guys. Like, there's 12 names that could be in the top five. Easy. Easy. So.
It's... Yeah, especially the new format and what they're racing for. It's going to be nuts. They're going to be banging bars.
Yeah, going for it. Going for it for sure.
Throwing it out there.
But.
You know, and we always say, well, let's get through round one and then we can pick. But, like, the last few years, it's changed so many times.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, Justin Barcia, he's won it, like, 3 out of the 4 last years or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but. He's not even in my top five right now. I'm like, do I need to rethink that? Well, what about Webb and Muscan? You know, they're always consistent in the top 5, 6 of, you know.
And Malcolm was looking good.
Malcolm was ripping last year. If he's gained anything, he's a podium contender. Dude.
Good luck, everybody.
Good luck, guys. Our recommendation is
go join our
cross your group. Fingers. Put 10 names in a hat.
Yeah.
Draw them out. And as they draw out, that's your top 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But yeah, go join our group. We're going to talk about it every podcast. And
it's just a lot of fun. It makes watching Supercross fun. You know, you're rooting for guys that maybe otherwise you wouldn't be rooting for. And it's more frustrating than it is fun, I think. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's fun, but it gets frustrating when you're like, you know, these guys are going to be in the top 5 and then one of them has a bad race or gets knocked off the track or something crazy. And then you're mad at that rider, but then you're still picking him for. Anyway, it's wild. You guys know. You guys know.
Yep.
You're in on it. Join our group.
Join our group.
We message with it. We message with our group members and stuff, and it's a good time. How many we got in there now?
Last I looked, I think we had 24 guys signed up in our group, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's filling up quick.
The most we ever had was in the 30s.
30-something, 33 or something, yeah. So jump in there. We share it on our social media, so go check our social media. If you need the password or the login again, go check. It's on there. But
it's on the little flyer thing that we made and posted.
Yep.
So 2 days left, less than 2 days now to get your picks in.
Yeah, Anaheim 1's this Saturday, January 7th.
And big thanks to Rocky Mountain for doing the Rocky Mountain Fantasy. Pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool. Awesome. Awesome stuff. It's fun.
I think I shop at Rocky Mountain quite a bit.
Just I know I do.
It's convenient.
They're in my business. They
actually just bought a brand new helmet. It showed up today.
Cool. So. Nice, dude. Nice.
Well, heck. I think we got all the business out of the way. Let's go get the real business. Our guest. All
right.
Yeah. So our guest tonight is Cameron. I can't even say his first name. Cameron Przinski. From Gainslinger's Human Performance. We've had him on the show a couple times before with some contests. But being the beginning of the year, everybody jumps on the fitness train or whatever. And Eric just joined with them. I hope I'm okay to say that. But he just joined their program. Eric's got some big things coming up. I don't know if you want to talk about that or not.
Yeah, we can.
But we decided to get Cameron on and just talk about fitness and what he does and what he offers. And I think he's got an offer for you guys as listeners. He said he's got a surprise for us, so he's going to talk about that here in a little bit. And kind of excited to see what that's all about.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much you want to talk about, but Eric's got some – I'm pretty stoked for Eric.
Yeah, so since the Baja 1000 this year, or well, last year in 2022, I had plans to race the Baja 1000 with a 30 and over pro team. Circumstances changed the week or so before the race. They were had some stuff come up and had to withdraw their entry. So anyway, I had my rooms and stuff booked down there, so I ended up just going down and just went down to watch and pre-run and hang out, and ended up getting on a team. I think we already kind of talked about this in one of the last podcasts, but ended up jumping on a team last minute and rode a couple miles and whatnot. But after that, I kind of was pondering on, you know, what I was going to do for 2023, and just feel like I'm kind of, you know, at the top of my game right now, and riding as good as I have ever have, and just not quite done, right? A few things left that I want to do before I maybe quit racing competitively. And so I started working on a deal for 2023, and just trying to sort out what I was going to do. I thought maybe I'd race some Hare and Hound series and do some stuff like that. And in passing, got talking with Taylor Stevens, and we've had him on the show in the past. But Taylor's a really good, great rider. I've been battling against him all season in the Legacy off-road racing series, and he beat us most of the time. But anyway, so I was talking in passing with Taylor, and he says, "Hey, let's team up for 23 and maybe do San Felipe 250." So I said, "Okay, yeah, that sounds cool. That's the one race I haven't done, you know, and down in Mexico, I've never raced that one. Done all the others." And so I was like, "Yeah, let's do that." So anyway, long story short, we kind of started putting some pieces together, and things kind of just fell in place. I was talking with a buddy about our plans to do that series, and he kind of came back with the idea to sponsor us and take care of some of our costs and help us out a bit. He's talked to me in the past about maybe sponsoring me, and just kind of never lined up. So anyway, we nailed down some details and ended up, ultimately, he's gonna give us three Husky 450 bikes for 2023 and cover our entries and parts and expenses and motor rebuilds for the Baja series. So we're gonna go race the entire Baja series and do it with some serious support. So I figured, you know, I've ridden my entire career to get to this point where maybe I could get some support with bikes and equipment, and be able to focus on just the riding and you know, racing aspect, and really put a little more focus into the program. So I thought, you know, if somebody's gonna
Have the
put have the
faith.
faith in me to support me in that way, the least I can do is be the most prepared that I can. So just before Christmas, a week or so before Christmas, I reached out to Cameron and Carissa at Gainslinger, and just said, "Hey guys, I'm interested in your program. I want to do something and get going on it." So yeah, here we are. I'm a couple weeks into their program, and just really looking forward to seeing the gains and the progress from that side, as well as having the support with bikes and equipment and stuff. So I mean, racing Mexico is a tremendous cost. You know, at bare bones, it's $10,000 a race down there. So to do the four races on a budget is 40 grand plus, I would say you'd be hard pressed to even do that. So anyway, huge thanks to Norman Racing, our sponsor. Mike, he's really stepping up in a huge way, giving us the top of the line equipment to make sure that we're prepared, and man, he just has so much faith in us and is super stoked and excited to start this team and go along on this program. So we're going to do everything we can to make them happy and just give them a good run. And I'm beyond stoked. Like I said, I've worked my entire racing career to get to this point. So really excited for the opportunity to do it. And can't wait to take you down there, show you Mexico, eat some tacos, hang out.
I'm going to be pitting in Mexico.
Dude, we're going. So
my bucket list is about ready to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. Exciting stuff for sure.
So. Oh, I'm super stoked for you, man. You were talking to me about it the other day, and I've been grinning ear to ear, and I'm not even on the bike or racing.
Right? Dude, it's unreal. Like, I still just, I don't know. I'm beside myself with it, but all I can do is just go give them my best, and at the end of the day, that's what I want, is to represent this opportunity the best that I can. And
yeah.
It's been fun already. We went out and did a team testing day. We tested the bikes for 2 days, tested suspension and messed with tires and clickers and all kinds of stuff, and found kind of some good settings and things that we liked and some things that need some work. And so bikes are going out to get fresh motors this week, and then in a week or two we'll send them all out and get suspensions refreshed and tuned and spring rates and everything set up, and then we'll do another full-on couple test days, and then we're gonna have two practice bikes that are set up identical to the race bike, so we'll be practicing on the same equipment that we'll be racing. So it's really, really neat, dude. Really awesome. So
that's cool.
Stoked to have, so it'll be me, Taylor Stevens, and Hayden Roberts for the San Felipe 250. So
cool.
Hayden's out of northern Utah, but good dude. So looking forward to that team. And again, huge shout out to Norman Racing and Mike Mesa at Norman Construction.
Nice. Now we'll get you in shape, better shape than you already are with Gainslinger. And
that's the plan. Get stronger and more cardio in, and just really, like, yeah, we'll get into it on the podcast with him, but the little things matter.
Yep. Cool. On that note, let's go see if we can't get Cameron on the phone and hear some of what he does and who he is and what he's going to help Eric with. Of course, with other people he helps in the racing community. And then I guess he's got something for you listeners, so stay tuned.
Super cool deal. So listen up, and I think you guys are going to be stoked.
Heck yeah. All right. We'll be right back, and we're going to go get Cameron. Stay tuned.
Later. What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. We're here for another episode, and just got to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, the people that keep this thing rolling and keep us going. That's Takamoto. Thanks, Mike, over at Takamoto. Stepping up huge, supporting the podcast. We love what you guys are doing as well, kicking out awesome products and parts for KTMs and trail bikes, Hondas, whatnot. So if you guys are in the market for parts, fuel pumps, hard parts, they got all kinds of stuff. Go check them out. They got great pricing, and you never know, Mike likes to hook people up too. So
Takamoto. yeah, it's pretty cool too to see, tune into the Dakar and see Takamoto on some of the bikes over there and riders.
Yeah, he's supporting some of the biggest teams over there, Mason Klein, Skyler House. He's also supporting some of the bigger teams in Baja. So
getting his name out.
Yep, he's doing well. He's definitely put in the time to develop some awesome parts and bike setups. They do repairs. They do all kinds of stuff, guys. So go check him out. He's got tons and tons of YouTube videos with great content. Anyway, we can't thank you enough for your support on the show. We love it. We love you guys. Thank you. Go check out Takamoto.co.
Takamoto.co. Takamoto.
All right, we have Cameron on the phone. Corndog and Eric sitting here with you, buddy. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
All right. Yeah, we can hear you nice and clear.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Cool. So how you doing?
Oh, good, man. It's definitely been a busy couple weeks, obviously, getting ready to go racing and end of the year and all that jazz, but it's awesome. How are you guys?
Good. Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, thanks. You too.
So you're getting a little bit of rain down there, huh?
Yeah, we're down here in Temecula, Southern California, and it hasn't rained like this in a couple years. It's we live down a dirt road quite a ways, and there's not much left of it.
Yikes. Fun. Well, cool. We figured we'd have you on as our first guest of the year and kind of talk about who you are and what you do and your Gainslinger's human performance. And since everybody's always on that boat at the beginning of the year with fitness and everything, maybe we can inspire some people to do it or even stay on it longer.
Yeah, no, awesome, guys. I'm honored to be the first of the year. That's pretty cool. But Cameron Przinski, owner and co-founder of Gainslinger Human Performance. I own it with my wife, Carissa. You know, we got an awesome team behind us and been, you know, in off-road racing since probably 2000, 2001. And, you know, doing this aspect of it probably since probably early 2012 or so. And, just really honestly trying to help as many of these guys as possible just make racing safer, more enjoyable, and, you know, for the younger kids, kind of help them develop some good habits. And then for us older guys, you know, just really keep us doing it as long as possible and have as much fun with it as we can.
Nice. So how is business? Do you guys have a big, I don't know, clientele or following or whatever you call it? Are you guys doing pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, we kind of operate in the dark a little bit in the sense that these days with social media, we don't have the biggest following. Actually, we had to start over last year. One of our accounts got hacked. And so we're only got like, I don't know, maybe 1,000 or so followers when it comes to that. But yeah, you know, we work with at any given time, probably between 120 to probably 300 clients, depending on our coaching staff. We'd like to take more. But obviously, you know, it's we never want to diminish the quality of what we do. And you never know what you're going to get. You know, this is a sport that comes with inherent risks, you know, and when it's smooth sailing and clear weather, you know, we click right along. But, you know, occasionally we'll have an athlete, you know, have a serious injury. And, you know, obviously we want to be with them through that. So, yeah, it just depends. But, yeah, honestly, it's what we do full time. It's the main gig. And, yeah, we love it.
Cool. Well, I know we had you on a couple times in the past and you teamed up with us or whatever you want to call it. And we did that contest last year, the Gainslinger Human Performance Contest. And how was that working out?
That was awesome. Honestly, that was, you know, I think we picked a real winner there. We got a chance to work with Evan Clean, a guy who kind of came into the sport full bore a little bit later on, you know, in his 30s. And honestly, the progress this dude has made is absolutely insane. We're continuing to work with him actually. And yeah, he's been a lot of fun. Just watching progress super fast, doing, you know, District 38 desert races. And now he's racing some Grand Prix races, the AMA NGPC series with us. Actually, that's what our team does. So it's been cool to see a couple more guys out there.
Nice. Yeah, I know we had a little show update with him when he was like 3 months into the program, and he was way positive and making changes and on the charge.
Yeah, you know, that's what we hope to do. You know, that I'm the first person to tell someone, you know, there's no magic in this stuff, right? You know, and it's truly what you put into it is what you get out, you know. But you take someone who has a lot of passion and work ethic and discipline, you know, and those aren't traits, those aren't attributes, those are things you develop over time. But you pair that with the right plan, you know, a solid roadmap, a vision, and a goal that gets you excited. It'll really blow you away what you can accomplish in a relatively short time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, maybe we'll have to give him a call or something. I messaged him not too long ago, but maybe I'll do an update with him or something.
Right on, right on.
And I want to tell our listeners too that Cameron's not only, I don't know if you consider yourself a coach or a fitness guru or what, but you also race. You're one of us. So with that being said, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background in racing.
Yeah, sure. You know, honestly, that's actually racing is what led me, you know, into the, you know, exercise science world. You know, dad got me a motorcycle, you know, I was about 4 years old, started racing, you know, late 90s, mid 90s, and never took it. It's something I wanted to do, but we didn't really know what it took, right? Like, I was like, I'm going to be the next Jeremy McGrath in my head, right? And to me, training for that was riding from one end of the driveway to the end. And, you know, someone would show up one day and invite me to race Supercross, right? That was my plan. But
I think we've all been there.
Right? You know, it's great. It's a beautiful thing. But, you know, I was fortunate enough, not too much further down the road from that, I would say probably 2003 or 2004, just by circumstance, my dad got introduced to Ryan Hughes, and they became really good friends and started working with him. And he really kind of showed me like, hey, like, you know, you want to be in the sport, you know, and compete and do that whole bit. Like there's kind of a way to do it. You know, and there's not rules to it, but there's a place to start, you know? And so that kind of got me into that, and tried my hand at the motocross thing. To be honest, it wasn't really, it didn't suit me well. I was never a good sprinter. I was never a super in shape kid. And I definitely was more prone to the longer races. And I think 2005 or six, I did my first works race and didn't even know how well I did, but went out there, I think in the novice class, and ended up going home, and we got an email saying that basically we forgot to pick up my trophy. And then I ended up getting a third place, showed up the next weekend, won the next one. And that was kind of where I really got started.
Nice. Cool. That's awesome.
So tell us a little bit about you guys, the Gainslinger Factory race team that you guys have and how that came to be.
Yeah. So, when it comes to the race team, I think we officially got started probably 2018 or 2019. At the time we didn't have a plan to really build a full team. Chris and I, you know, we were doing a lot of coaching. We started working with a young gentleman, Cole Zeller at the time, just trying to help him, you know, put it all together. You know, he had a lot of bike skill and also a lot of DNFs, and just trying to get a program that worked. And so we said, hey, what if we just kind of did this together and made like a little, like almost more of a club than a team, you know? And we did works and NGPC series. And, you know, over time we realized that, you know, there was a need in the sport. We saw so many riders either injuring out or kind of just quitting before they even got started. 'Cause it's hard, right? It's not cheap. And a lot of people don't know what to do. It takes a lot of resources, and we kind of wanted to shine a light on that, you know, and we said from day one that like, hey, if you want it bad enough, there's nothing you can't do. We said we were out to debunk the talent myth. That was our team's goal. Right. So, it was kind of a pipe dream, you know, initially, but we got some momentum, you know, and, got some people interested in what we were doing. And then the first full season, I guess, where we had a real team, would probably be 2020. We had, 2021, brought Michael Del Fonte on board. He's former Pro Light champion in the Work Series. Then we brought on the Danowski family out of Vegas. And, didn't see a whole lot of results initially, but we knew we had a good program. And this last year, we just had a breakthrough year, finally. You know, we got, I think, 3 national championships. Carissa, okay, in her first year of racing, actually, she got 2 women's C-class championships and got bumped up. I won a 30-plus AA championship in NGPC for the lightweight class. And then
nice.
Cole Zeller, he got his first couple pro podiums this year in both the Works and NGPC. And, you know, really helped us bring on some more support. So, yeah, definitely got some good momentum and basically showing that, you put it all together, you work hard, you know, the only thing it takes is time.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, Cameron, what you guys are doing. I follow you guys pretty closely on Instagram and social media and stuff, and seems like you guys are setting the world on fire. But it's amazing what you can do with just an idea and some dedication and hard work. And, you said something earlier that kind of struck me, that, you know, you grabbed Cole when he was just kind of floundering a little bit and looking for was struggling to finish even and looking for some consistency and stuff. And it took me back to flashbacks of my early days of my racing career and just the lack of knowledge, the lack of structure, the lack of prep, everything, you know. And what you guys are doing to give people a solid program, a solid foundation, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, it's, we look at it a couple of different ways, right? And, you know, we're not delusional about this. You know, this is not the answer most people actually expect when they talk to me. They're like, well, if I only had time to one day a week to train, like, well, should I ride or should I go to the gym? And I'm like, you need to ride that motorcycle as much as possible. forget the gym if you only got one day a week, you know. And that's not to say that it's not important, you know, but, you know, I learned from a coach a long time ago, we can't be superstitious about what matters. You know, we have to look at what's so and act accordingly.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's definitely a need for gym time, and that's, if you can make the time to do it, that's critical. But nothing replaces seat time on the bike, reactionary time, actually doing what you're going to be doing. So I like that you guys are realists with it. I just recently started Cameron's program, and I'm really excited to see how it can help me develop my, you know, my program. But I like the fact that you guys are realists with it. You tailor it and work with the athlete to, you know, to fit their schedule. And there's, you know, more than one way to skin a cat, so they say.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, it's, I learned this from, you know, from one of my coaches, Joe Degano. He's MX coach. He's a not super well known, but extremely, he's a gem. He's a hidden treasure, you know. And, you know, one of the things that he told me, you know, a long time ago, that, you know, there's a difference between coaching and training. And that's what we always say. We're coaches. Basically, a trainer tells you what to do. A coach helps you discover for yourself how to do it, right? And, you know, it's like, I used to do this. You know, I used to write these beautiful programs and send them out to these athletes, and then I'd check in with them, and they did like 1% of it. And I'd be, have my feelings hurt. And I'm like, what's going on? Then I'm like, realizing, like, hey, these aren't robots. These are real people with jobs and school and work. And oh my gosh, like all of this stuff, it's like, they have to be treated like people, you know? So context is key. you know, and over the years, that's where our coaching has trended, is understanding that every person is an individual and you have to meet them where they're at if you really want to help them.
Right. Yeah. A lot of wisdom in that. You know, we all, like you said, we all live in our reality of different jobs, different sleep schedules, different eating patterns, different stuff. And a lot of it is getting that coaching. And like you said, teaching us how to make the best of our situation, I guess, and bring out the things that we need to be doing, but tailor it to each specific person. But
100%, 100%, you know,
on that note, you being a coach or whatever, and now Eric has just joined your program.
Yeah.
And hopefully I will too someday.
Indeed.
But we're what, 6-8 hours away from you. Explain to us how that breaks down, is how he could do a program being that so far away from you.
Yeah. I mean, it, just like anything, right? Whether we're face to face or 2,000 miles away, communication is key, you know? So thankfully in the modern age, you know, we have the internet. We do everything through a coaching app, basically, whether it be for the exercise instruction, we do video instruction, we record every workout, we communicate about just about every workout. We take a look at nutrition, we track that real time. So we just have a good, you know, pulse on what's going on. And that's the main thing. And that's, you know, some people love it, some people don't, this aspect, but it's kind of like, yeah, we're always looking over your shoulder. You know, it's very rarely do we ever chew an athlete out unless they've basically set the context that and given us permission to. But in all reality, it's like, hey, we had a couple funky days. Like, what's going on? What do we need to do to get back on track? And we go from there, you know, and that's that consistency, right? And consistency is the word, not perfection, is what's driven results over the last few years that have really been kind of just game changing for the athletes we work with and for our team. And, you know, honestly, that it doesn't need to be, it can look like anything, right? You know, it's like maybe we have we have athletes who are traveling and all they have is the back of their box van. And like, I'm like, sweet, you have a floor? We'll work out with a floor.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things, guys. It's pretty easy to do. You know, we have multiple programs. I think actually, I won't get to the good stuff. I'll let you guys introduce it later. But, you know, for the listeners, have something good for you guys. We wanted to just thank you for listening to the podcast and being part of it. But
yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit, I guess.
Cool deal.
So, and what you're saying is if somebody joins your program, you don't necessarily need to have a gym, access to a gym. You can write a program, like you said, in the back of your box van or hotel room or a garage.
100%, 100%. And, you know, and that's the thing too. It's getting a self-awareness of what's needed, right? You know, and like, you know, Eric just started working with us, you know, and I always tell people like, hey, in the beginning stages, we have to find out what's actually important, you know, and we don't always have an accurate assessment of ourselves, and that's okay. Like myself included. Right. And so it takes someone looking at and observing, determining what's actually going to be effective. You know, I mean, shoot, this month is always one of our busiest months, not just, you know, the start of the racing season for the team, but everyone has a New Year's resolution. Right. And like, that's great. Right. And I'm not one of those people that knocks that. Like, I think like wherever we start, it doesn't matter. But one of the first things I tell people is like, hey, they tell me the top five things that they're going to do. And I say, what's most important? They say, well, it's all important. And I'm like, okay, there can only be one priority. Otherwise it's by definition, not a priority. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where we have to start, you know, and that looks different for everybody. You know, and so, you know, people want to know, like, well, how should I start off the year? I'm like, well, that depends. what's in the, like, what do you want? Right. You know, if it's like, I just want to feel better, like that's not bad, but that's not a useful goal, you know? And something I learned a long time ago from every good coach that I've had personally, I still have coaches, by the way, like I believe in it. It makes a difference.
Cool.
But it's one of those things that says, hey, rather than I just want to do better, saying no, I want this specific outcome, right? Like I said, this year, I want to defend my, you know, my 30 plus double A title, and I want to finish top 10 in the pro class overall for the year. That's specific, right?
Right.
And I could say, okay, well, which races do I want to feel my best at? Because they can't all be my best, right? Which ones do I want for? And so the more specific you get on a goal, the more we can understand what's important long-term and what needs to be addressed first. You know, for some riders, maybe it's like, hey, you know, like fitness is one thing, but you can't even get in the right position. So we got some mobility work to do. And that's important, you know. For another, it might be completely nutrition. Maybe that's the only thing we focus on, and that's okay. But the first step is always getting clear on what's needed.
Wow.
Yeah. So for my experience, when I first talked to Cameron about getting on their program, we're going to be racing the Score Baja Series this year. So I reached out to Cameron and basically he set up a time to reach out to me, and we sat down for about an hour and talked about goals and priorities and what it was that I needed, you know, and where I felt like I could improve the most. And we identified a lot of things there that kind of helped him tailor a program to me specifically. And, you know, one of those things for me was just needing the accountability, somebody to check in and have accountability to my workout program, right? And to making sure that I'm doing the program, right? And so accountability was huge, and then just set, you know, priorities and goals on getting stronger and stuff like that. So really cool. Their app is super user friendly and really neat way to communicate. And like Cameron said early on, the communication part is really key to it. So these guys do a great job.
Yeah, no, thanks. Yeah. We're stoked to be working with Eric for this. And, you know, it's obviously with the team, you know, racing the GP stuff, it's always fun to get with guys that are doing, you know, more of these longer races, endurance based stuff, which is a whole different animal. So it's definitely it's a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's way different. I you know, most of my career I've raced off-road, desert, and I've done some GP stuff. I've raced some work stuff, and it's just a different, totally different style of racing. The work stuff is more of a short duration sprint, hard for an hour or two straight, high heart rates, where the long distance, you know, 1,000-1,200 miles for the Baja 1000 is time on the bike, lots of endurance and strength and high speeds. So yeah, different styles of riding and racing for sure. But
yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, it brings into focus areas that, you know, sometimes we don't always think about, right? I think, you know, one of the first things we talked about was, you know, on those longer rides, like especially at the speed you guys are going, like, I mean, fastest mile per hour we hit at a pro national or supercross, right? Maybe 50 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and don't get me wrong, it's gnarly. Like I'm not going out there. I'm not signing up for that. But at the same time, when you're doing 120 plus across the desert, after riding for 4+ hours, your vision's starting to fatigue, it's at night, all of these things, just the mental component and the alertness, like all of a sudden, this is something that we have to deal with that doesn't always show up in every discipline, you know?
Yeah, I was listening to some of the Dakar interviews recently, and, you know, they're on like stage 5, and they're talking about mind fade, you know, well into the race. And those guys are doing like 300 miles a day
And it's for real. Like, staying concentrated and focused for that long is really challenging. But there's so many different components for different styles of riding and racing that can be worked on and improved on, especially with a solid coach.
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. You know, and it's like I said before, it is cool in this day and age where we can connect all over the world. You know, there's always an added benefit of, you know, having some familiarity with the type of racing, you know, that's being done too, you know. And, you know, that's one of those races, you know, one of the reasons that I'll do this for as long as I possibly can, you know, and trying to race at the top of my game, because it keeps, you know, it keeps me on pace with what's going on. You know, I have a better understanding of, like, you know, some of our super fast guys like Cole or like Eric, what these guys need, because I can put myself out there, you know, and there'll come a day where I can't do that, you know. And but ultimately, if we can keep this information alive, if we can, you know, educate as much as possible, you know, we can grow other people's awareness, you know, that hopefully over the years, there'll be more and more coaches who are well-versed in this, and the sport overall can grow. You know, we can see greater visibility, you know, in the motorsport world as a whole. And, you know, ultimately that's our goal, is to be able to steward this way.
Super cool.
Very cool.
Yep.
I like the point that Eric hit on a little bit ago about having somebody just to coach you or check in on you. And what's funny is I was listening to one of our older podcasts today on the road when we had you on there before, and we had kind of hit on that same thing. And I personally like having somebody checking in on you, credibility. And I think the comment was said on our other podcast was, yeah, if there's nobody checking and you have plans, well, you get home from work, you grab a Twinkie and you turn a movie on, you know, instead of going to the gym because nobody's checking on you. So I really like that and look forward to something in that aspect.
100%, you know. And, you know, I think there's a bit of a dichotomy there, right? You know, we want to learn to exercise discipline, right? You know, to say it, we ultimately become who we are when nobody's watching, right? You know, and it's like, and that's true, right? You know, and we all do things when the curtains are down, you know, it's like, okay, that ice cream looks good, we'll eat the whole thing, you know, go to do a workout, you do one set, like, you know, I'm going to sit for a little bit, right? And, you know, that's okay. But, you know, at the same time, that accountability, it's like just having someone there to check in on you, it's enough. It's just enough to get your head above water and to get that momentum. And sometimes that's all it takes. You know, it's just,
right,
it's a little bit of that spark to say, do you know what? I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this, but you're helping me out with this today. You know, I know you're going to check on with me later. I'm going to do good today, you know?
Right.
And, you know, days like those, they stack over time, you know, and eventually, like, that becomes who we are. It's interesting.
Well, it's especially when you're doing hard things, you know, like the accountability, when you're doing easy stuff, it's no big deal. You know, everybody's got the drive to do that. But when you're doing hard things require work. And so accountability is really important. I mean, we use it in the fire service with our guys, and it works, you know? And so everybody needs accountability to some level. And that's, I think, one of the most valuable things that you guys bring to an athlete, is that accountability and checking in and just the guidance too, you know, giving them the tools that they maybe don't have in their toolbox, but the accountability is really important.
100%. You know, I fully agree, you know, and it all starts, you know, a combination of integrity and respect. You know, it's that accountability doesn't mean anything, right? Because, you know, I'll be honest, you know, we don't work with everyone that approaches us, and it's usually not. And when I say, you know, respect and integrity, I don't mean as a character trait. I mean as literal verbs, as an action. You know, if we start to work with an athlete and they say, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then they don't do it, I say, hey, no big deal, you didn't do it. And if we can acknowledge that they didn't do it and we can move on, amazing. you know, if it's a denial of, well, you know, and there's little ownership there, then there's not a whole lot of respect for what we're doing, you know. And a lot of the times I'll say, hey, it's this, now's probably not the time to engage in this, right? Like I said, it's not an assessment on someone's character, but, you know, having, you know, I think, you know, to be honest, that's one of the things that I believe drives quality coaching, is having that level of respect and understanding, you know, between your coach and the athlete. You know, I've seen it work, you know, in my life, you know, having a coach that I respect, who understands me well enough, who's taken the time to get to understand what I'm really out there to do, what I want. You know, earlier this year, we raced, did a national Grand Prix in Blythe. And like I said, Rhino, who I used to work with, was out there. He was out there coaching Noah Viney and a couple other guys. And I'm on the line. He talks to me and he knew exactly the words to say because he knew it would matter. He basically said, hey, don't embarrass that last name. You know, the name on, you know, because he knew that would get me. He knows my dad. And I'm like, I got to tell you, that little bit of accountability paired with that respect and understanding, I rode that race. I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to embarrass that name. And I don't know if he's watching or cares or not, but just the illusion that someone's keeping tabs on me, like, I'm not dropping my elbows. I'm not slacking anywhere.
Yep.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So, obviously you train yourself, and like you said, you have coaches. Do you check in with somebody periodically? Probably your wife, right?
Yeah. So I should say this. I have a team of coaches. you know, and this is something that I've learned that works for me, right? You know, some of us can do an all-in-one shot, but I rely on different people for different things. You know, Carissa, she really looks over my nutrition at a high level, you know, and I do program my workouts because I, at this point, I understand what needs to be done. But, you know, I look at my teammates for accountability, you know, for, you know, we check in, we talk about it, a weekly meeting, and I know that I have someone to answer to, even though it's my workout, I wrote it. Someone's going to know if I don't do it. You know, and on the bike, same thing, you know, still working with MX coach. I can coach people, you know, well enough. I can instruct. Who's going to be looking over me? You know, it's not enough for me, right? At least is what I've found. So, you know, I've surrounded myself with the system that makes sure that I don't fall through the cracks with my own goals, right? That if I'm slacking, right, Someone's going to say something.
That accountability.
Exactly. Back to it, right?
Yep. Yep. Cool. Well, I know, without letting the cat out of the bag, give us an example, if you can, of what a workout might be, like somebody that doesn't have a gym. Like, is it like push-ups, jogging, or does it just depend on the athlete or the person in training?
Yeah, you know, so I'll kind of break it down this way, you know, like, and I don't mean to be cryptic by any means, but, you know, it does matter, you know, what the needs are. So, for example, like, let's just take, you know, someone, no equipment, right? If we discover, like, hey, strength is what's lacking here, then, yeah, we're going to work on strength. You know, we're going to, you know, we'll be doing some lunges, some, you know, some push-ups, some Turkish get-ups, some stuff that's really going to put those muscles under tension and allow you to develop that, right? Obviously, at a certain point, you know, if you're serious, right, trying to be a professional, yeah, some equipment will be needed, but most of us don't need to start there. You know, if I find it, someone's like, wow, this person's actually quite muscled, but you know, let's say maybe their day job is, you know, they're in construction, right, and they're actually quite strong, but anytime their heart rate gets above 130 beats per minute, they're gassed. I'm like, you know what, we're going to work on that aspect of it, right? You know, we're going to do some heart rate zone training, and that might look more like some biking, some running, some rowing, whatever it is, right? And that's where we'd focus. You know, if it's someone's like, they're just tight, they feel like they can't hold, I'm like, yeah, like stretching is, you'd be surprised what stretching will do for your results by doing nothing else.
Wow. And is it like into yoga or just basic stretching?
Yeah. So we don't, you know, we don't get into any certain, I should say, you know, framework. What we look at is, you know, where is their need? Where is their restrictions in mobility? We use different techniques that we instruct on, whether it be PNF stretching, you know, all sort of, you know, reciprocal inhibition. I know these are all fancy words, but essentially we look at the things that are going to say, hey, the way we stretch prior to a race is very different than what you do midweek. And we're going to explain the difference so that you can perform well today. And we're still making long-term gains.
Nice. So if somebody's trying to improve their results or just improve their health and strength and whatnot on the bike, how do they get a hold of you guys to see if they can get in the program?
Yeah. Probably the easiest way nowadays is Instagram. You can hit us up. It's at GainslingerHP for human performance, but just GainslingerHP. Always send us a DM or comment there. You can visit the website at gainslinger.com. You know, submit a form there and, you know, give us your contact and, you know, see if we can help, right? Like I said, you know, not everyone is a good fit for the program, but we will help anyone who asks us in whatever way we can, whatever capacity we're able to do.
Cool. That's awesome. And you hit on nutrition, you hit on supplements. That's all right.
Yeah. We, like I said, we take a really holistic, you know, approach here. You know, our first goal, you know, when we're looking at working with an athlete, you know, and most of the time, you know, it starts with saying, okay, like, what do you want? And the answer is almost always, I want to race better, right? I want to do better. I'm like, cool. I hope it's not to do worse, right?
Right.
You know, but a lot of the times, you know, we understand that it's not going to be one thing. It's going to be a lot of different things. But 9 times out of 10 with an athlete, you know, we start looking at the nutrition, be like, okay. And not as what, you know, what do you eat like during the week? It's like, what does race day look like? You know, we find that 90%, I would say 95% of the athletes we work with before we start with them, we find out that race day and the days leading up, they severely undereat. And we've seen just like, I mean, this is the easiest, this is the low hanging fruit. It's like, man, if we can just establish some baseline protocols for your nutrition on the race weekend and change nothing else, we see a huge improvement in result, you know? So we start there, right? Because they could say, well, I get tired. It's like, maybe I'm unfit. I'm like, or you just have, you're underfed. Like your bike doesn't run without gas. What makes you think your body's going to?
Right.
Yep.
You know, so we start
there. And there's, yeah. And it's all those little things like that, that you're, you know, your new racer, or I mean, even some of your veteran racers don't have that in their program or in their toolbox. But we say, you know, we say this all the time on the podcast, that the little things matter, the little things add up to big things, and races and championships are won off of the little things that you do, you know, and pit strategies to bike prep. To one example, you know, we raced the Legacy Cedar City Revolution race over there this last year. I show up and we're there pretty well prepped as far as, you know, bike goes and stuff, and this group of young kids show up next, and they kind of pit next to us, and they're pulling bikes out and stuff, and pretty young crew, and you know, we're just kind of watching their setup, and they're looking at us like, oh man, these guys are so prepared, you know. And next thing you know, they're asking to borrow tools, and then they're asking to borrow a couple parts, and they're asking to, you know, just basic setup stuff that they just haven't learned it yet, you know. And I remember those days when I was there, and there were people there to help teach me and lend me tools or whatever. But so I'm happy to do it. But yeah, just the little things. And it's that way with, I feel like, with everything, including, you know, what you guys are doing. And that's the awesome part of it, is you're able to bring that value and teach
those little things that aren't being captured. And I feel like that's what makes the big difference in the end.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's, you know, and I had a coach say this same thing, right? You don't know what you don't know. You know, we all remember the day when we first got started, you know, and it's like, man, we're, you know, the idea of, you know, changing a rear tire was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be a task. Same thing, you know, when it comes to, you know, getting your health in order, it's like scared to walk in that gym, or it's like you're standing sort of like, hey, I know I need to eat better, but what does that look like? You know? And so you need someone to show you the way a little bit, you know, and, you know, just like you guys helping those younger guys out, you know, we try to do the same thing when we're at the races. You know, we always have an open door policy, you know, same thing. We answer every, you know, Instagram message we can. And, you know, it's like, hey, like, you can't give someone a hard time for not doing something if they don't know the thing they should be doing, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can't be mad at yourself for not knowing what you don't know. But at the same time, knowledge is power. Knowledge is wealth. You know, knowledge is everything. So obtaining that and learning is huge.
It's all a piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
No, you're missing that one piece, and you get your, if you ever put a puzzle together and you're missing that last piece, you know, that could have been representing your championship or a finish or whatnot. You need all those pieces to finish.
I like the way you said that. I mean, think about that for a minute, right? And if you never spend the time looking for that piece, you'll never know that you're one piece away.
Right.
You know?
There's a new saying in there, something somewhere.
Right. I'm sure.
You look at even at the highest level of our sport, you know, and in whether it's, you know, the professional desert racers or motocross, supercross racers, they're all striving for that, just that little piece, that little bit that's going to make the difference between a 10th and a podium, you know, and, it really comes down to putting it all together at the end of the day, putting that puzzle together, like Corndog was saying. And, but anyway, it's cool that you guys are able to capture that little corner of the sport with what you guys are doing with nutrition and physical fitness and riding coach and all the stuff that you guys are doing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Big stuff. You guys are doing some really big stuff, and I just wish I'd have had it, you know, 15 years ago, but hey, it's never too late.
That's right. Yeah. You know, we all have the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, but you know, it's, you have the power to act in the present to create a better future. You know, it's like, hey, what's next? Let's do it.
Let's go. That's right.
Look for that, that next piece.
That's right. That's exactly.
Well, cool. It's been, learned a lot just so far on the show. Plan on learning a lot more and getting with you and watching Eric's pieces of his puzzle come together. He's got some pretty cool things coming in the future. Maybe he'll talk about that later. I guess, do you have anything else to throw out there, Cameron?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, just really kind of looking at it, you know, like I said, we're always open to help. You know, I don't have any, you know, transformative, you know, words or parting wisdom other than, you know, is if you're struggling, ask for help. You know, it doesn't always have to be, you know, from the best. You know, I've learned to ask for help, and it's made all the difference, even if it's from someone of you. And a lot of the times we suffer needlessly. We have that frustration of just not seeing the results we want, you know, and sometimes we're one just little bit uncomfortable conversation away from everything we wanted.
Right.
Yeah. And usually that discomfort comes from within. Most of the time, the guy that's just above you is happy to share that knowledge. You know what I mean? And that's part of why we're doing the podcast, you know, to be able to pass on and share some of the stuff that we've learned over the last 25 years of racing. And
You know, we're always happy to share what we can and better the sport and help somebody else improve and get better. But if you don't ask, you won't know.
Always learning.
It's true. Both of those.
Yep. Well, while we got you, Cameron, real quick, in our conversation prior to getting you on here, you made an offer to the listeners of the podcast here, that if they're looking for an opportunity to just get started, you guys have a little program that you guys do for like a quick turnaround. If you're looking to get ready in, you know, 5 to 6 weeks before a race and you just need a little, quick boost to get prepared, you guys have a little program or something for that?
Yeah.
You're absolutely offering up?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's you know, really appreciate the podcast and, you know, just want to help as many in the sport as possible. So, you know, obviously this is not the full bore coaching experience, right? You know, obviously time is limited, but you know, what we were able to do is put together essentially the 6 week race prep course, right? You know, if you have an important race and you need that little boot camp, if you will, how to train, what to train, what to focus on, you know, how to eat, how to start prepping your mindset, and really just how to get everything in order to race. We've put together a solid program for that, you know, with lots of tools within it, lots of hidden gems, lots of valuable coaching from a couple of the guys, you know, on our team. And, you know, we wanted to make that available for the listeners, Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. So, yeah, it's available at absolutely no charge for people listening to the show. So, if that's something that you believe would be helpful, like I said, this is not it's not going to get you ready for Anaheim 1, but this will make a massive difference, you know, if we're looking to maybe start racing this year, or if you feel like your fitness or your health is something you've been neglecting, this will make a world of difference.
That is, wow.
That's phenomenal, Cameron. And again, for our listeners, if you need a six-week boost before your race and you're looking for a little boot camp, hit these guys up on their social media, hit Cameron up, and just tell them you listen to the podcast and that you're interested in the 6 week boot, 6 week boot camp.
That would be the best way to get a hold of you, right? It's through, social media.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest. You know, we check that, you know, multiple times a day. I would recommend going that route. And okay. I will quiz them though. I want to know that they listen to the show. So if I ask them, you know, what's Corn Dog's favorite color, they better have an answer.
Yes.
Do you know?
I have no idea. Maybe you want to share. They'll have to come to this episode.
I'm actually colorblind, but
jeez,
better.
I don't really have a favorite color. I'll say blue though. I'm on Yamahas.
All right, we'll run with it.
So there you go, guys.
Code word blue.
Get your free 6 week boot camp, and want to see you guys improving. And here's an offer from the Gainslinger crew.
Wow,
to make it happen. These guys are awesome.
Yeah, that's an opportunity that's being passed on to you listeners that you don't want to pass up. It's that I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Corn dog's over here stuttering.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Cameron. That's so awesome. And looking forward to continuing to work with you guys, and really just floored with all the awesome stuff that you guys are doing for the sport. So
yes,
we're happy to have you guys on and promote, you know, people that are also invested in improving the sport. So.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys. It means a lot, you know, giving me the time to come on here and just hang out with you guys. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's sweet. So I know I've hung out with you guys at a few of the works races, Glen Helen and the Orleans and stuff. And what a great time you guys have and welcomed me in your guys' little pit area. But look forward to hanging out with you guys again under the same situation. Maybe the upcoming works race, I will hang out with you guys.
So real quick, you guys are going to do the NGPC and works again this year, or what's your plans for your team?
Yeah, correct. We're fully committed, contracted to do both the full NGPC series as well as works. We'll do all 10 rounds of each series. We're looking at maybe a couple of the endurance events at like the 24 hours of Glen Helen, kind of see how that goes. And then nice. If all goes well this summer, maybe a couple pro nationals during the off season.
Dang. Sounds like a great, great plan, but
yeah, some good goals.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, again, too, if any of our listeners are at any of those rounds, go check these guys out. They have a pit set up there, and go say hi to them. And yep, let them know that you listen to the show.
Yep. Always willing to help.
Very cool. All right, Cameron. Well, thanks for coming on, buddy. We appreciate it. And good to talk to you again.
Awesome, guys. Look forward to talking to you guys soon.
Hope to talk to you soon. We need to talk.
Yep. I got you covered, Corn Dog.
All right. Well, stay dry down there. And again, thanks for coming on the show.
Yep. You bet. Stay safe, guys.
All right. See you soon. Bye.
All right. Holy cow. Cameron Pierzynski with Gainslinger Human Performance. You guys, you need to check out that deal he's offering. Free of charge, a quick performance race-ready program. What was it, 6 weeks?
Yeah, a six-week program to get you ready for your next race. He called it a boot camp.
Yeah.
But anyway, check him out if you know, your physical fitness or your diet or anything of those sorts has been holding you back, reach out. Those guys will hook you up with a little 6-week boot camp program for free of charge.
Wow.
And for all of our listeners, just he wants to hear that you're listening to our podcast and
code word blue.
Corn Dog's favorite color is blue, at least right now. I'm trying to turn him. He's colorblind, though. He thinks it's blue. It's probably actually orange.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, super cool.
Reach out to Cameron or Carissa on Gainslinger's Instagram. Message him. Tell him you heard our show, heard the offer. He'll hook you up.
Yeah.
Get race ready.
You guys heard it from Cameron, so there it is.
But. And we can't thank you enough, Cameron and Carissa over at Gainslinger. I still call it Gunslinger. Gainslinger Human Performance.
Gainslinger HP on Instagram.
Yep. So thank you, Cameron, for coming on, offering that program to our listeners. I'm speechless. There are no words. Thank you. Anyways, it feels good to be back in studio. We are going to sign out. I know it's been a little bit longer show. So... thanks again to Takamoto, Takamoto.co. Takamoto. Mike's going to kill me. Anyway, and with that word, anyways, again, send us an email, thedesertdirtbiker@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, guest ideas, topic ideas, race dates. Let us know. We will do our best to get it on the air.
Yeah, and I got to do a quick shout out for a couple of my personal sponsors that are stepping up in a big way for 23 as well, because I told them I would give them a shout on the podcast. But Kenda Tires, they've been with me for 3-4 years, and they're stepping up big this year to help us out again. But they have some amazing stuff. Factory Connection Suspension, keeping us dialed in on our suspension. And DDC Racing, I know Nate Delaney, he's been on the podcast before, but we're big fans of his product, whether he's supporting us or not. We still love his products. So
yeah, he's awesome.
DDC Sprockets, go check those out. And then Blood Lubricants, again, past sponsor of the show, but we're still using their stuff. Great oil, great products. And just want to give a shout out to those guys. And then obviously Gainslinger HP, Those guys are helping me out again for 23. And Mike over at Takomoto.co, Takomoto.co. And the guys at Rocky Mountain ATV St. George, again, they've been supporters of the podcast, giving us some stuff for the giveaways at our trail ride and our group ride. And they're just good dudes over there, always taking care of us. So that's it. Thank you to my personal sponsors, and most of those have stepped up for the show in one way or another also. So just want to give those guys another shout out and support the companies that are supporting the sport and keeping this thing going and keeping us going. So huge thanks. It means a lot. It definitely, every little bit helps, and these guys have stepped up in a massive way. So
cool. Awesome. Yep. And we wish you the best of luck in Baja.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm going to Baja to pit. I'm helping pit.
Dude, I can't wait to get you down there.
Yep.
There's no doubt we're going to come back with some good Baja stories and get you down there.
If I come back.
Hopefully if you stay, it's on good on your terms.
You're right.
You just love it so much, you decided to stay down there.
Yep.
You're kind of a gypsy. You could pull that off.
Right?
Dude.
Moto Vanit.
Yeah.
So
Corn Dog's going to be looking for a beach house in San Felipe before we're done.
Right. But I talked to Joe Amy the other day. Might as well talk about that. He said he's got a house if we're down there to hit him up. And he was going to get a hold of you to see if you needed any help. He's racing the 250.
Okay.
And
sick.
So he said he was going to call you. I don't know if he has or not.
Yeah, no, Joe Amy is super good, dude. He actually let us stay at his house, me and Ty Harvey, a couple years back. And super, super nice place right on the beach. And Joe's just
salty. He's the Moran president, and I think he was
super good guy.
One of the first couple guests we had on our show when we first started out.
Yeah. Past guest. And yep. Thanks, Joe. I'll definitely reach out and hit you up. Hopefully you hear this. But
all right, let's call it. So find us on Facebook, KD Eric, stands for Corn Dog and Eric. And our TikTok. And here pretty soon we're gonna do a live TikTok show. Got to that point. We're over 2,000 followers, so posting little videos here and there, and our guests and stuff on there. So check us out. And anything else, Eric?
Cool. No, that's all I got.
Happy New Year, and we will see you at the races.
Happy New Year. Here's to a good 2023.
Send 23. It. 23 Send is a good it. Number.
You have just listened to another episode of the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in next time.